Beth Wakely, who is the instructor for the seminar on managing the school library with the University of Missouri. And I'm introducing Laura Hammerschmidt, who is an account representative for Missouri for Mac and Library Resources. Good morning, Laura.
Good morning, Beth.
First, I want to describe my class to you a little bit. We have a pretty large group this summer. Some are teachers who are interested in becoming school librarians. Some are already in a school librarian. I have some that are going to start a brand new job when the new semester starts. I have some librarians who already have their MLS and who are interested in moving from academic or special libraries into the school library field. I have students from Missouri, from Illinois, from Kansas, and I do have one from New Mexico. So we are all over the place. First of all, would you tell us a little bit about you and about the company you're working for?
Sure. I have been in the book business for the better part of about 25 years. Started right after I graduated from college and went into bindery sales, and then was with a different company for 16 years, and now have been with Mackin for a couple of years. And Mackin is a wholesaler, distributor, jobber, whatever term you might want to coin it, out of Burnsville, Minnesota. They've been in business for 25 years. And Mackin works with over 18,000 publishers and has over 2 million titles available on their database and to school libraries. And multimedia, we have DVDs, we have CDs, all kinds of different formats of the titles that they might be searching for.
Okay, would you please tell my students why it's better to use a jobber than to go order from the publisher and most of the time?
Absolutely. The jobbers or wholesalers are going to be more customer-driven than if you go directly to a publisher. Normally, they're going to have cataloging and processing available, which if you order directly from a publisher, you will not find that. The majority are offering free shipping, which a publisher will charge you, not to mention the time that is involved with ordering from multiple vendors. The district that I live in did a study and found out that the average purchase order cost about $75 to produce by the time the media specialist creates it, and it passes through all the red tape and chains of command. So consolidating, not to mention when it comes in to your school library, everything is accurate and consistent as far as your cataloging and processing.
Absolutely. I find that interesting that the cost is that high. I'm not surprised, though. And there are some districts, depending on how large your district is, that will allow you to order directly on the Mackin site, even though you are using a purchase order, which is something to find out. Never just send a order in. Make sure you're using the correct procedure. Just right now, while we're at that point, let's mention what a do-not-exceed order means.
Well, a do-not-exceed order is great to use if your district allows it, because it ensures a higher fill rate on your order. Do-not-exceed, you can say, do not exceed $1,000 and perhaps send in about $1,200 worth of titles. That way you're going to get 100% fill rate on your order, and it clears up any remaining funds. So especially it's important at the end of the school year. There's nothing left hanging as far as your budget amounts.
Absolutely, because you don't want to hang something from one budget year to the next.
Right, and generally districts will not allow that.
Yeah, pretty much all of them are that way, even independent schools. All right, let's talk. You're a brand new librarian. You've moved to a brand new job. One of the things that you should do is check your specs. How will Mackin, and what are specs when we talk about specs?
Specs are something that you want to provide to a jobber for your cataloging and processing of your books. And each school or each district might do that a different way. The best way that I recommend is that you get your specifications set up with the companies that you're going to use and just keep that on file. Everybody is automated now, so you want to make sure that you're providing the software automation system that you're using in your district. You want to make sure that you have proper barcode information as far as the symbology of the barcode, where you want that barcode placed on the book. As far as your machine-readable catalog and your MARC records, you want to make sure you're specifying whether you're using Sears subject headings or Library of Congress subject headings. Even things like your spine labels that would be on the books. How far from the base of the spine do you want that? Do you use F? Do you use FIC? This is all involved in the specifications that generally you set up one time and then let the companies keep track of it from there.
Absolutely. And another thing I learned at a job the hard way, it's nice to have the Mylar covers over the book covers. And I walked into a new job never dreaming that a librarian would not like that. And for unknown reasons, she didn't and was shocked. My first order, I had checked everything but that because I assumed who wouldn't want their books to look pretty on the shelf because they're much more attractive with the Mylar. And there is no extra cost when you use Mac, and so that is something nice to know.
That is true. And I think you're going to see, and we're going to keep ours free, but you might start seeing charges go up on that. That's a petroleum-based product.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think that that's going to be impacted by the gas prices that we're paying. And another good point you made, too, Beth, is when you walked into a new library situation, one thing that I'd recommend that your students do is find out, before you place an order, what kind of specifications have been set up? Because what your preferences are might not match to what your predecessors are.
Absolutely.
And also make sure that you find out if your district has already in place a unified specification system.
Right, and absolutely now you need to with the union catalogs we're seeing out there.
Absolutely.
And eventually, I know like in Ohio, it's statewide, public, private, public schools, public libraries. They are all using the same specs. So there may be a time when Missouri comes to that, off in the future, but it still may be coming. Let's talk about the different types of bindings and why one would choose one binding over another.
Okay. Really, the best type of binding that you could get is a library-bound edition of a particular title. Now, that's going to have added reinforcement down the spine of the book, and also it's going to have a better binding on the original binding as well. A second type of binding might be a trade binding, which again is going to be a hardbound binding, but it's not going to have that additional reinforcement down the spine. An example I like to use is the Scholastic Harry Potter books. The library-bound books are made to be circulated in a library situation where the book's going to be checked in and checked out and passed through numerous hands versus what you would go get at a Walmart store for your own personal use of Harry Potter book would be a trade binding.
Or a book fair book.
Right. Of course, then you have pre-bound paperbacks, which they go under a number of different names, but these are paperbacks that have been converted to hardcover before the book ever enters circulation. The original binding's removed, and it's either sewn or adhesively bound, and the cover is computer reproduced and placed on what's called binder's board, and then the book is a hardcover book. And those generally, from all the different companies, have a lifetime guarantee on that binding. It's a less expensive binding because you have started with a paperback, and generally, they're $4 or $5 less than what a library binding would cost, and they can stretch your budget dollars a little bit further. And those go under trade names like Mackin Bound, Perma Bound, Follett Bound.
Yeah, those are very good. Would you just mention what a Capco cover on a paperback is?
Absolutely. That is another product that has been placed around the paperback. I don't know how to describe that very well, because it's like a hard plastic.
Right. It's more than like a contact paper that people may have seen. It's thicker.
Right. And I can't think of it, what exactly the mill is on that. But it is, and you can apply those yourself or you can have the companies apply that for you.
And I will say if you're not really, really, really good, it's cheaper in the long run to have the company do it.
It is because it's very time consuming to try and get that on there. One thing to remember, it does protect the cover, but it does not change the binding of the book.
Exactly. But it does help when you have some books that are not available, Mac and bound or hardbound. There are some titles, that are, especially at the high school level, that are only paperback.
Right.
All right. We've talked about bindings. We've talked about specifications. We mentioned barcodes. But I think we need to mention that you should give the jobber a range of numbers so that they don't have to stop on your order to contact you.
That's always a great idea because that can hold up an order and it can cause you a lot of headaches too. The best thing to do is assign a range of maybe 5 or 10,000 to the different jobbers that you might be using and let them keep track of that for you. So when you're placing an order, you can say, use my next number on file. That way you're going to have less chance of messing that up and duplicating, which can cause you a lot of headaches. If ever you do that, though, don't hesitate to contact the company and say, you know what, I messed up and I gave two companies the same range, because generally it's very easy for the companies to rerun barcodes for you, rerun the MARC records for you, and then all you have to do is go in and put the new barcodes on the books.
Absolutely. Okay, now let's talk about putting an order together and talking about your searching screen, which Mackin is constantly improving. This is not my first interview with you, but I decided to re-interview because you have changed the search process.
We really have. December, we rolled out a new website. It had been completely revamped, and I can't tell you the number of hours that went into upgrading this. It's on a dedicated server now, so it's much more fast than what it used to be. Numerous ways you can do searches. You can search by keyword, by title, by author, by series, by subject, or by ISBN. And you can combine your search criteria with interest level, reading level, fiction versus nonfiction. If you're using a particular reading program like Accelerated Reader and you want to only search books that fall into that reading program, you can do that. You can search by review source. You can also specify within your search that you only want to see books that have had 3 positive reviews, and, of course, by publication date or copyright date, too.
And also, I've noticed that Mackin, since this new big revision, has that children's database of reviews that's also included.
That's right. It's called Children's Comprehensive Literature Database, and there's 300,000 books that have been reviewed on that, and you can click on that, and it'll pull up the reviews on those titles.
Yeah, I know that there are some districts who had been paying to have that for their schools, and if they use Mackin, they don't need that anymore. So that would also save them. Let's talk about some of the various ways that Mackin helps you with lists. I know you have special Missouri lists in there.
We do, and I have to tell you, too, we have a great staff of librarians at Mackin who work on developing these lists. They're tying in lists to the Missouri GLEs. They have lists from the different book gurus or the experts in the field, such as Peggy Sharp, that go around and do book talks every year. We have 5,000 lists. It's a great time-saving tool. If you go under library lists, under suggested lists, there are over 5,000 lists on there with the state award list, and list of special interest, for instance, in Missouri. We have all kinds of other featured lists that tie into the curriculum. We have high-low lists, and these are constantly updated and developed by our staff up at Mackin.
And I know one trick that I do, I mean, I always look at the Gateway list because I'm in high school. When I was in elementary, I did the Show Me, the Building Block, the Kansas City 3, et cetera, the Mark Twain. I like to look at what Illinois is doing, what Kansas is doing, et cetera, so I can see if there's a title I may have missed but may be on my list the following year, because sometimes they pick different years for when they put together these state lists. They also, I noticed that you have Wilson lists in there, too, which are nice. You will show whether it's on the Wilson list, which
right.
is something else that we should look at. Let's mention something besides ordering. You can also do a collection analysis with Mackin. Would you want to talk a little bit about that?
Absolutely. This is a free service that we provide at Mackin, and it's great if you're coming into a new position and you're not familiar with the collection. What you can do is from your software, from your cataloging portion of your software, and we can walk you through this, or I'm always happy to help people and go to their buildings if it's somebody in Missouri and help them with this. What you do is an export of your collection, and you send that through to Mackin, and we will give you a breakdown and analyze the age of your collection. We'll identify titles that, for instance, in Missouri don't meet the state standards. We can make recommendations for weeding, and then our librarians on staff can help you develop titles and lists to fill in the gap. So maybe your predecessor was coming from a math background and had been really heavy in ordering in the 500s, and the biographies were weak. Our staff will work with you to identify the strengths and weaknesses of the collection. We call it collection analysis plus solutions, and the solutions part being that our librarians will help you work to get your collection weeded and up to standards.
Yeah, that is a big help to look at that. Something else I didn't mention, too, it's good to download your collection so you're not accidentally ordering the same title. Because when you've been in a building for a while and when you're reading reviews all the time, it's real easy to order a book twice.
It really is. And another feature of this program is called Title Match. And what it'll do is tell you that you already have that book. So once you've exported your collection and sent it up for analysis, Title Match can also click in. And that will identify when you're looking up a title, which is great, especially if you're new. You don't have to keep crossing over back and forth to your OPAC, and you can see that you already own that title.
Absolutely, and there may be a reason that you want another copy of it. Maybe it is extremely popular. But there are times, I know that I have caught myself where I put something in a different binding
right.
and didn't realize I had done that, and this helped me catch it. All right, let's say now you've gone through, you've put your order in, you have your do not exceed. What are some of the helps that Mackin has to let you know when that order is going to come?
Well, on our website, when you have a list submitted as an order, you can simply click on the status of that under My List, and we will send you back an email letting you know what titles are in, what's available, and when to expect that to come. It's very handy. We're also going to be rolling out something called Live Chat, where you'll have a link on the website that will connect you directly to somebody in our customer service department, too, if you have any questions on your order. So it's going to allow you to track that very carefully.
Yeah, that is really good. And I submitted an order and told Mackin not to ship it until after a certain date in August so that it wouldn't be floating around my building while they're stripping floors, waxing floors, and while the bookstore is having orders come in. So that is something else to remember, that you can say, this is my order, but please hold it for me for a while. Don't rush on it.
Mm-hmm. Another good point, I just spoke with somebody at a high school yesterday, and she wanted to make sure that her books were there for the start of the school year. So she's submitting her order now, but the purchase order can't come in until after the fiscal year starts in July. So she's simply putting on there to that the purchase order is going to follow, but just go ahead and start filling the order. So what we'll do, and because we work primarily with schools, is we're happy to accommodate that with going ahead and getting the orders in the works, and you say, I'm sending you the purchase order after July. Or if you're working on a new school collection and the building's not going to be done, we're happy to hold things up there. So we're very, very flexible. And it's a matter of if you have a special need, a special request, all you have to do is call and make that request known, and we're happy to accommodate that.
Yeah, and one thing I have noticed with Mackin is I get a human being who answers the telephone.
Yes.
Which I get annoyed because I have limited amount of time, and to get an actual person who I can ask my question or see whatever my issue or my problem or, you know, however I am perplexed, to have a human being answer me right away rather than to play phone tag, I appreciate. So I hope you're able to keep that up. So I've been real pleased with customer service.
Good. And that's a big priority for us, is that we don't want to get so big that we never feel like that we're addressing the needs of the customers immediately and that you can't get an answer right away.
Something else that I just realized we didn't mention was the ability to save orders on the website. I usually have multiple wish lists going. So that, because if I have somebody, say, in the social studies department tell me, you know, we're thinking about starting an elective and it will be on such and such a topic, I want to make sure that I really start targeting books in that particular field, and then I see if the class really is going to go, and then I have that ready to go when the order comes in. And it's always wise to have a wish list. You never know when there's extra money that's going to suddenly show up, and you have a limited amount of time to spend it. So it's always good to keep those wish lists up there on the website. Let's just mention how far we've come, too, with computers and the way the companies are helping the librarian. In the olden days, which unfortunately I started out in the olden days, where you would have to type up your purchase order, and you know, for each of the titles, or you would take a catalog and go through, you'd read the reviews, and then highlight the titles, tear the pages out, mail them in, have the company type up the list, send it back, go back over it again. This is so much easier. I mean, the world has come so far. I love, even though sometimes you do have tech issues in a building with a network, this is such an improvement over what we used to have to do. I don't want to stop before we mention your posters, because I just really enjoy the photography you have on your posters and the fact that they're available. They promote reading, and they're available in Spanish.
They are, and we've been kicking around French, but I don't think that that's going to happen. But English and Spanish, and they all have reading messages on them, and we have two that come out every year. And we're going to be, I think, expanding to do a little more. We generally do Caldecott Newberry posters, and we're thinking about doing some state-driven posters as well, addressing the state awards list.
Oh, that would be good. Yeah, but I just like the Spanish ones. When I discovered you had them in Spanish, and I always try to get some extras so that my Spanish teachers can have them, because they are trying to get all the students to be reading and become more fluent in reading Spanish, and I have Spanish magazines, so the poster just reinforces that for all
Great.
Of us. Well, Laura, I think we have covered everything. If there's anything you can think of that we have missed...
I can't, but I would encourage, if, as your students are working on the website, if they have any questions, not to hesitate to call us. We're happy to help in any way we can. If they have any questions regarding navigating the site, we're more than happy to work them through it. If they have any questions addressing a list or finding titles that they need, we're happy to help. One other thing I'll mention, too, we do have classroom lists on there. If they do walk into a situation where there is a new text adoption, we have a lot of lists on there that tie into things like Houghton Mifflin Science or a new reading adoption, where the bibliographies that are provided with those texts are in the back of those books. We've already created those lists, so it's a helpful tool that's on there as well, and that's under suggested lists.
That's a real good point, especially since by the time some of these textbooks are written, approved, adopted, the books are out of print.
That's right, and you have teachers coming to you saying, well, why don't we have these in the library? Well, the website will identify titles that are out of print. They'll also, if you've done a collection analysis, identify titles that are recommended in that bibliography that you already have, too. So
yes, absolutely.
There's a lot of good information that you can pull off the site.
Absolutely. Well, Laura, I want to thank you for speaking with me this morning so that my students can learn just a little bit more about what it's like to be in the position of a school librarian. And thank you very much.
Well, thank you, and I wish them all the best of luck as they embark on their new careers.
Yes, absolutely. Thanks again.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
This interview was recorded in the Sisselcast Studios at the University of Missouri-Columbia.